Brian Jordan Fleagle. It's Big Dog Ball Talk. Matt Eichhorn and my good friend Jordan Fleagle coming here to give you quakes that make you take all about
quakes
the NBA
that make you
world.
Take. Love that.
Yeah, take a quake. Take a quake. Hey, Jordan, I finished Love on the Spectrum. You know, we some would say that you and I have found love on the spectrum. I want to share one of my biggest takeaways from watching that entire series of seeing all three seasons. The third season was a great one. It looks like they actually put some more effort into finding people who actually, you know, made somewhat sense instead of being like, oh, this person who can like speak and has their own house, let's give them someone who's like nonverbal. That'll work out. I think they probably saw the writing on the walls. I can't just keep milking this cash cow forever. But my biggest takeaway, Jordan, was a great joke. Why do ducks have feathers?
I don't know why.
To cover their butt quacks. What do you think, man? Think that's true?
Really good. Really good stuff.
It's one of the best jokes I've heard in a long time. Yeah. Nice, clean, family fun.
Yes, exactly. And those are the best. Wow. Yeah.
That, just like that's this podcast.
Most of the time. I'm going to watch this series. I'm starting it tonight just because of that joke.
Nice.
But that's in season three. Got to wait to season
three
for that
one. You're going to have to push your way through, man. Lots of interesting shit that goes down in between. If not, just watch for the season. I believe it's the second season. There's what's his name? I can't remember what it is. But it's an Indian guy, and he's like adamant that he does not want an Indian girlfriend, though. You've probably seen him on TikTok. He's fucking funny, man. He's a savage. His mom's like trying to do a whole speech about him, you know, being an adult and growing up, and he's like, when are you gonna stop talking?
Oh my god,
good, man. They're savages. They are. They really are.
Yeah.
But Jordan, you know who else was a savage? Luka Doncic in his return to Dallas. A crazy game. Obviously, if you were a devoted listener, you already heard us preview this, just talking about what we kind of thought we'd expect to happen. But honestly, I think that this kind of gave us everything we wanted and more, a sense of closure and, the theatrics of what kind of transpired in that matchup. I kind of want to start it off, Jordan, just let's go all the way back to that pregame, tribute. Again, usually other teams, once the road team's getting introduced, everybody knows, lights are all still on. The announcer talks like this, the power forward from UConn. It's usually very bland. They don't want to hype anybody up for the away team. Obviously, that makes sense. But felt like they actually gave the Lakers quite the nice introduction. They had the lights off and everything because they were preparing, right before they introduced Luka. They rolled a video tribute. Awesome stuff there from the Mavericks. Maybe the only good thing their management and their organization's done in the past 365 days. Luka obviously overtaken by emotion, getting teary-eyed on the bench there watching it all. And again, it just goes to show it's insane. I think it was Trae Young, for God's sakes, a guy who was, his draft day trade, tweeting that he was never going to leave. There was no way. And you could tell that, I don't know if I've ever seen that, in any sport after a guy gets traded, having that kind of raw reaction, in person. I don't really think that, generally when there's a trade, it just, at least makes sense for one side. But again, this one being the weird and, just chaotic trade that it was, it's still shaken Luka to his core, and it's reverberated still throughout the league. But that was a crazy visual to see.
Well, yeah, I mean, imagine the Luka Doncic documentary down the line. That's going to be, that scene alone just in real life seemed very documentary like the fact that not only was he reacting to it, but he's like alone on that bench. It's crazy that it's just him. The crowd's behind him or whatever, but that shot is just him looking up at the video. Clearly, he hadn't seen it before. It was the first time he was just sort of taking it in as the whole crowd was. Just starts crying, asks for the towel, puts his head down. with cameras like right in his face. I don't know if they were right in his face or just zoomed completely in, but like that's crazy that you know, pro athletes, you know, that's what you got to deal with, you know, when you're
Adam was probably
going through it.
Get up closer,
closer. But
I see the sweat drip out of his pores.
Oh my god! But like it was just crazy scene. I give Luka a lot of, like, people have been saying this, but I give him a lot of credit for like just handling that like in a super honest way, just like just reacting exactly how he felt. There was no, I didn't think he was trying to put anything on. There was no exaggeration. He was just clearly there as this fucking, because also remember, like, this is a kid who came over when he was drafted. He was 18 or 19, however old he was. Mm-hmm. And I know he left Slovenia and he went and played in Spain, and he had been playing in pro leagues for a while, but like, still, he's coming across the fucking ocean. Mm-hmm. All he knows in the NBA is Dallas, and that organization for 7 years, however long he's been there. And so you got to take that into consideration as well. It's not like he's this like seasoned vet who's been traded before. And yeah, he clearly just put all of his eggs in that basket. I mean, he also was looking for houses in Dallas just before he got traded, as people have pointed out. So yeah, you're just seeing like a super raw human reaction to something. And that was just a crazy way to kick things off. And you don't really know how the game's going to go after that for Luka. And, you know, we'll get into his performance, but he kind of put that aside pretty quickly and went out there and put together a pretty nice game, got a win for the Lakers. It's just, it's crazy because normally, like, there was a situation like for us Raptors fans when DeMar got traded, and obviously that would have been emotional for him. Like if he had to come right back like a week later or something, and there was the tribute video, like I could see DeMar getting emotional in that situation. But like the Luka thing is so unique in that it's not like the team traded him away and was like in the DeMar situation. And any other situation where you trade a star player that we've seen before for something that like a package you legitimately think is better, or like your star player is maybe on the decline and it's like, okay, we're doing that. So all you have only nice things to say about that player when they're sent out, even though you have traded them and that's just kind of the business of the thing. The thing that the Mavericks did is traded Luka away, and no one like even tried to make the argument that Anthony Davis was just a better player, or they're now like set up better for the long term. It was trashing Luka immediately for his work ethic and, you know, what his habits and everything, and that they just didn't like the type of person / player he was. That's not the type of you know, defensive minded you know, whatever player they wanted in their organization. And so it was just so weird to have that be the sort of story as he comes back. Is not like, oh, thank you for your service. Like, oh, we had to do this. This was a business. This didn't seem like a business trade the whole time. Mm-hmm. It felt like a personal trade. It felt like the one of the first ever personal superstar trades, because normally when you have a team with a superstar, even if you have issues with them, you stick with them because you know how rare it is to actually acquire a superstar in your organization. You accept their flaws, if anything. I mean, look at OKC and Russ, you know, and any number of situations. So,
or yeah, Houston, it was just, and Russ, or Washington, yes, and Russ.
Yes.
And then, well, Houston, they do eventually trade him. Yeah,
Houston and James Harden, though, like all those years, like that. This is the organization and fan base that's like defends this. You know, again, if you're a star and you're flawed, you just sort of take that as just what you have to deal with to have such a good player. And that's why the Lucas trade was so like such a bombshell and such a surprise. It's the first time any team we can remember has just gone against that. And like, even though he's amazing and just took us to the finals less than a year ago, we don't really like the type of player that he is. So we're going to trade him away. So yeah, it's just, I've never seen that dynamic of a guy coming back and clearly there's no like, oh yeah, understanding of it's a business. They made this decision because, you know, XXX, like this is the first time we've ever seen this of a guy clearly wanting to stay there, clearly wanting to be there. And yeah, you're right. Like, I don't think he would have, I don't think he had any plans to leave. Like, maybe down the line if things really weren't working in the team building sense. But the other thing, like, that Mavs fans have been saying is the perfect timeline. His first season was Dirk's last season, and you go straight from this, you know, the legend of this franchise into this next great, you know, young player who's already taken them to places, you know, they couldn't even imagine at such a young age. So, it was crazy to see that all come together. But you're right. It does feel like there's maybe a bit of closure on at least the trade part of it. And now both franchises are going in different directions. You know, Lakers are the third seed. The Mavs, they have clinched, but only because the Suns are so terrible that finally they're out. And when I say clinched, I mean clinch the play-in.
Well, and yeah, just like you said, I mean, it's the way that everything's gone. I mean, yeah, the Lakers have gotten better. The Mavericks have gotten worse. Who would have predicted this? and like you said, usually when it's a superstar and, you know, things get traded like this, it usually is, you know, if there is beef between them and the front office, it is like a, you know, well-known thing. And, you know, the team and the player will both kind of be going back and forth. This seemed completely one-sided. I still have never heard Luka say anything bad about Nico Harrison or anyone else there in the Dallas organization. So I'm on your side that I do think that maybe this was a little bit more personally motivated than anything, which is odd to say the least. But let's talk about tip-off here. Right after we get into the game, you know, quick foul there for LeBron. Of course, he's going to just take it to the rim right off the bat. But the second Luka touched the ball, the Dallas crowd is just going nuts. Tons of Lakers fans out there. But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of those were Mavericks fans that were just, you know, wearing Luka Doncic jerseys to show support. I don't, whether you were a Lakers fan or a Mavericks fan, I think everybody was cheering every time he touched the ball. And, you know, again, Luka is, you know, arguably the best player in the world right now, and he showed it in this one. You know, he's had a couple shaky games as a Laker. Like, I wouldn't say that, you know, his Laker tenure has been gangbusters so far, but this was probably his best game as a Laker so far. 45 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 7 three balls. I mean, he was on fire from pretty much the opening, you know, tip. Had a kind of a wonky turnover early on, but, you know, I think he hit that first shot and kind of all the butterflies and everything kind of went away, and he was ready to go there and, you know, go to work, and he really did. Again, hilarious that the whole point of, you know, bringing in Anthony Davis is to increase the defense and everything, and then your team gets torched for, you know, 45 from the guy who traded away. But yeah, this is, again, on the other side of this trade, you know, again, he's kind of the forgotten man of it all, but like, Anthony Davis here, you know,
classic AD performance. Classic.
Yeah, does not show up at all. Plays 33 minutes, 13 points, 11 boards, 6 assists against Jackson Hayes. Like, that's the guy you wanted. That's the guy who you were like, "Yep, no, we're good now. This is going to be our, you know, the franchise guy, the defensive anchor." Like, yeah, he had one block, I guess, and you know, he's kind of roaming around like. This is just one of those ones that if I was a Mavericks fan watching this, watching the two guys that you traded or that you traded, you know, for each other, and then you see
one. Don't forget about Max Christie. He had 11 off the bench.
I was going to say he actually had an awesome game. I think that was his revenge game more than it was Anthony Davis's revenge game.
For sure.
But yeah, they like I would just be like even more angry than I've ever been. Like all the feelings that initially happened would all be brought right back to the surface because I couldn't fathom that we thought, you know, as an organization that my team was like, yeah, this is the better move for us right now. Again, especially coming off an NBA Finals appearance. So, yeah, this is a the game kind of exemplified what we already knew. But this Lakers and Mavericks trade, one-sided. And, I think one of the best, you know, cinematic shots at the end of the game was the Lakers and the crowd going crazy for Luka when he comes out. And then shout out to the cameraman, the producer in the truck, telling him to find it, bringing the camera over, finding Nico Harrison, just sitting there looking pissed right off, zoom in on his tears. it was a great, great shot. All my homies hate Nico Harrison. This is a very, justified beatdown here. And again, it takes a lot for us to have to root for the Lakers a little bit. And this is probably the last time of the year that I will. But yeah, this was much needed. If the Mavericks had somehow won this game, it would have just been wrong.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think the crowd would have started booing if they truly got back into it. I mean, it was kind of close there. And, you know, yep. I also give respect, a lot of respect to the Mavericks fans. It's not like they were so rowdy that they booed Anthony Davis. Like, they were still cheering for the Mavs when they would hit shots when the game was still kind of close there. So I thought they handled themselves well. Again, cheering for Luka. We knew that was going to happen. I think a lot of people, maybe including me a little bit, didn't think it would be such loud cheers. Like, it felt like the entire arena was just full. And that's crazy because, again, these other, like, return games that you think of when LeBron went back to Cleveland, that actually felt like someone was going to get hurt like that. I know it's a completely different situation, but, and it was, you know, LeBron's choice to leave, versus the other way around here. But like, you would think maybe there'd be some people who are like so loyal to the Mavs that they're like, no, I'm not going to cheer for Luka. It didn't seem like anyone took that road at all. It was like, yeah, I'll still cheer for the Mavs, but you bet your ass I'm going to cheer for Luka as well. I think the atmosphere in there was sort of went perfectly. And again, the Fire Nico chants were still raining down, which I don't think that's going to stop until he does get fired. And they should, like, I'm not joking, they should consider firing him ASAP because maybe just to humor the guy, because you also would have had to sign off on this trade if you're the ownership group or whatever. You let next season play out, but like, I don't see how you can like look at this game, look at how this season has gone, the fact that Kyrie's future is uncertain now because of his injury, Anthony Davis another year older, but that's a conversation for down the line. But like,
I would fire him again anyways, just because the fan base would finally get back behind you. They'd really rally, but I think that that's kind of needed at this point because next year. It's still going to be, man, fuck this guy. We wish we had Luka, even with Kyrie and AD together.
Especially when, and we'll see how far the Lakers get this year. I don't think anyone thinks the Mavs are going anywhere, even if they make it out of the play-in, which I don't give them a good shot to do. The Lakers could, we'll get into our predictions and, playoff matchups and everything, but the Lakers, the other part of this is the Lakers came into this game on a back-to-back against the Thunder, where they were in that game until Luka got a technical that has since been rescinded, where he was swearing at someone courtside and the ref thought he was talking to him. Which again, Luka, like, you can't complain.
He got ejected.
Well, we get right. Yeah, he got ejected because that was his second.
Which is funny because we said that was going to happen in this game. So good thing the refs got that out of their system.
Exactly. But the context is, before that, they destroyed the Thunder, and then they were in that game with the Thunder. The second half of the baseball series there, normally the team that lost comes out and kind of, if one game's lopsided, the team that lost really puts the hammer down. But, like, the Lakers were still in it. So the Lakers now, I'm looking at them like they've got a, at least for now, fully healthy squad, of their guys. They're looking much more connected defensively, like more like they looked sort of right after the Luka trade and right before since January when they were like this awesome defense because they were flying around. They weren't fouling anyone. They were always in position, even though they don't have the most, skilled defensive guys from like a build standpoint. Like, they've only got a few of those type of defenders, but JJ's really got these guys on a string. So like, now you're looking forward and it's like the Lakers, they've locked into that third seed now. I think they can clinch it either with a win tonight against the Rockets or then they play the Blazers. They only need to get one of those wins to lock in. And so like, you're looking at it and it's like the Lakers, I don't know. I mean, what their ceiling is it, I certainly think most people think that they can win a round, and then it's like, you're in round two, a tough playoff series. You have a motivated Luka and LeBron who thinks it might be his last go around. And then you've got Austin Reeves playing better than he ever has. Like, this is a scary ass team. Like, it might be almost like absolute immediate, even more immediate regret for the Mavs. Like, not only did we do this, but now the Lakers are getting as far in the playoffs as we were expecting to, like, get back to the finals. But now we're not even, we might not even make the fucking postseason. Like, it's crazy. But like, that Luka game, that performance showed, I think, how sort of he has gathered his legs a bit, and like you said, kind of some shaky early on performances with the Lakers. He's looking like, I don't even think he's at peak level of Luka yet. Like, I still think there's a few rungs to get to, but that game showed you, and to be honest, it didn't even look like he was breaking that much of a sweat. Like, he was kind of just, you know, calmly pulling up for his threes, making his passes, his reads. And the fact that he can get 45 and, you know, close to a fucking, you know, as he always does, approaching a triple double. It's scary times for anyone playing the Lakers, but even worse for the Mavs, because yeah, you look at Anthony Davis. I mean, I understand Anthony Davis in the Luka return game. If I was AD, I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm gonna go and score 50 tonight, but maybe 20, maybe get to 20 just to give these fans a little bit of a consolation prize.
Daniel Gafford was better than him.
yes. So that's where they're at. It's not great.
Yeah, well, if there's any Mavericks fans out there, hit us up at Big Dog Ball Talk. I mean, I know that it's been a while, but you know, trauma, it still lingers. So air it out. It's a safe place. Let us know how you feel. At Big Dog Ball Talk on X, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, for all the old heads out there. Let us know. Yeah, post on our wall. Give us a poke. they should bring that feature back.
Is it gone? I'm furious.
There's no chance there.
No
chance. But let's move on here, Jordan. Let's talk a little bit about postseason basketball here. As we've mentioned, the NBA season's over this weekend. Sunday is the finale of the regular season. So get ready for Monday's show, where we are going to be giving out all of our end-of-season hardware. Or maybe it'll be play-in preview. I don't know. We're going to probably have three episodes next week, you know, previewing the play-in. We're going to be talking about end-of-season awards, our picks, Big Dog of the Year, for God's sakes. And on top of that, once the actual playoff bracket is set, we'll also be previewing all of the playoff matchups and giving our predictions for the finals. So be on the lookout. Tons and tons of content coming down the pipe for you guys right now. But before we get into that, we want to, you know, play the hypothetical game here. And Jordan and I are going to highlight a couple potential matchups that we could see here.
You know, will these into existence? Round.
Yes. And I think there's quite a few here that, you know, I think that we can, you know, highlight as, you know, potential, you know, blockbusters to see in the first round. And I know that we haven't talked about the Eastern Conference in quite some time here, Jordan. So I do want to put this one out there. It's my only Eastern Conference playoff first round matchup that I really do have highlighted that I would like to see. So here it is. I would love to see the New York Knicks versus the Detroit Pistons. I think that that's a pretty, you know, common one. They just faced off there in Detroit on Thursday night. Again, recording this Friday morning. And the Pistons took the win 115 to 106. You know, awesome game there from Cade Cunningham. And again, this is a Pistons team that, you know, people have bought into. I think their fan base has bought into. You know, the Knicks come into the season after, you know, making the big blockbuster trades for Karl-Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. And, you know, no matter what, you know, people kind of think, oh, they're like the number two to the Boston Celtics. And, you know, nobody expected the Cavs to be as dominant as they were this season. But the Knicks have still firmly been in that top three of the Eastern Conference. But the Pistons have come on so late, and it looks like they might actually be able to give the Knicks a run for their money. Fun fact here, Jordan, in the four games they played head-to-head this year, the Pistons won 3 of 4. So I think that this is a legitimate, you know, chance for a huge upset victory. Obviously, the Pistons not as experienced in the postseason as the Knicks and their core. But I think that this has, you know, the legs to at least go long, maybe 6 or 7 games. And, you know, it's two historic franchises going at each other. You know, nitty gritty fan bases as well, which you love to see. They really, you know, get into it, you know, but whether it's inside or outside the arena. And ultimately, it is nice to see a team that we haven't seen in the playoffs for so long. It's fun when a team like the Pistons gets in where it's like, oh, man, I didn't think we'd see you guys here forever again. And here they are.
Your hometown Pistons.
Yeah, my hometown Pistons. And, yeah, I'd be lying if I didn't say that, you know, playoff games in the Mecca at MSG don't hit different. So the Pistons and the Knicks are probably the first series I want to highlight that I really do think would do awesome ratings and also have really good games, competitive matchups throughout the series.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think a lot of people feel that way, me included, that that's the most fun team for the Pistons to play, like as this first time in the playoffs since Blake Griffin. That's true, right? I think because they made it, and then they got destroyed. Yeah, we've talked about this. That's such a forgettable. This is the first time I feel like they're like, and because even then that would have been like a 7 or 8 seed. There was no chance. Now they've got an actual. I think people, at least some people, give them a chance to actually win their first round playoff series. Yeah. I don't remember the last time that was true. So this is pretty crazy.
And this is also, I just want to shout out the Pistons, the stat that I've been seeing going around here. This is the. I think this is after their win against the Knicks. If not, they're actually in fifth. But they're in elite territory. They're in the top six NBA history of biggest win improvements from one season to the next. I mean, they won, 15 games last year? Yep. So they're up 29 games.
They've 29 tripled wins. Their win total, it sounds like. Yes. Or at one point they did. Like, that's just, craziness. Coming in with some good momentum. And if I want Beef Stew to clothesline someone or, get in someone's face, run down the court, charge at someone, I want it to be in MSG, and I want Spike Lee standing up, punching his fist in the air. Like, that scene, I need it so badly. So, this is the only answer. And then, I mean, the other natural way that the 4-5 series falls is Pacers-Bucks, the rematch. And after all the history those two teams have kind of had over the past year and a bit. I think that's another fun first round series because the only other sort of option is if the Pacers. I think the Pacers still can technically get the 3 seed here if I'm looking at this right. Yep. I don't know who holds the tiebreaker, but Pacers Pistons that'd be fine I suppose, but just doesn't do it for you as much as Knicks Pistons. So 100%.
No drama.
No. I just want some fights, man. I'm dying for the fights, and I think that series will give us at least. Two, I'll say.
Well, our former Rotten Soldier, Precious Achiuwa, fucking posterized Beef Stew last
night. I'm surprised Beef Stew didn't start swinging. I mean,
That's what I thought would happen. They even pushed up in each other in that stanchion. Yep. I thought for sure there was going to be a scrap.
Yeah. I think he's just hyper aware of his technical foul count. So I think he's like, I can't do it. I got to save this for the playoffs. First fucking play, Achiuwa checks in. He's gonna clock him probably. But
suplex. Give me another series that you're looking forward to potentially seeing in the first round, Jordan.
Okay, I'm gonna stick to the East again, we haven't given them a lot of love, and then let's move to the West because the West is where there's juicier ones. But just one more, and this one's kind of a bit up in the air, and we're just doing first round, right? That's
just the first round.
I don't really care what happens below the Pistons, like the Magic. They had a great start to the year. I understand. They just don't look like they have it right now. With Suggs out, and again, there's the offense still isn't there. The Paolo and Franz thing still hasn't clicked to the level where it needs to.
Also, I don't mean to interrupt you, Jordan. I apologize, but you mentioned Jalen Suggs. We never had the chance. I wasn't familiar with your game. I wasn't aware that he was dating.
You didn't know that?
No.
I swear I mentioned that a while ago. Okay, that's been
big
for a while.
Ups, much respect, man. You see the Sports Illustrated, man. Good for you, Jalen.
Actually, but he was
paid fucking like $100 million. Yeah, he's living good.
He's living good. And did you see him like chest bumping her dad in the stand? He's like, who is
this guy? Was sauced up, man.
Yeah, he was going wild. But
which is cool. Whatever. I would be too.
Yeah. She's coming to the league as well. I mean, that's her last.
Oh, season, yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, great. Her great. Going to be a Beckers, crazy class. Yeah.
Be awesome. The Magic, I don't know. They just don't do it for me. I don't want to see them lose that first game, let's say, cuz I think the Hawks could probably beat them if they stay in that matchup. I just think, Trae Young is the play-in king. If they have to, if I have to watch the Magic go up against the Cavs or the Celtics in the best case scenario here, like they're just, I don't think they're going to get anywhere. So I don't care about that. Same thing with the Hawks. I'm sick of it. I backed the Hawks this year to think they could actually do something. They're just the same fucking, they're in the same situation they've been in the past, like 4 years, it seems like. I'm sick of them as well. I'm sick of, Trae Young has, he's won a second game for the Hawks in the first round. Yes. They push it to six. Like I'm done, especially again, if it's with the Celtics, like that's just such a boring series. So all I care about is that the Bulls make it through, because the Bulls are the most fun of those bottom four teams. The Heat are also dead. Please leave. I hope the Heat get absolutely blown out in that 9-10 game. But if the Bulls make it through and clinch that 8 seed and play the Cavs, I'm not saying anyone's getting upset, but I think the Bulls could maybe sneak a couple wins because, again, the Cavs, they were a great regular season team, but I don't think anyone like fears them to the level that people fear the Celtics, especially when you're talking about slowed down playoff basketball. And so I just want to see what Josh Giddey and those boys can do. So that's my other wish for the Eastern Conference, that the Bulls make it through, sneak through there, get that eight seed, and then see what they can do to the Cavs.
Yeah, and I think that would actually be an interesting matchup, like compared to a lot of these like lower ranked teams. I also just want to say it's hilarious that the Magic are the Southeast champions and they might miss the playoffs.
Yes,
that's fucking embarrassing. But the Bulls actually match up really well, I think, against the Cavs. Obviously, you know, you'd be asking a lot from Project Pat or Buzelis to match up there down at the four spot when
he's playing better.
Mobley. Yeah, it would just be. I think it would be tough just to match up size wise. But
on the
flip side of it, because the Cavs have such a small backcourt, you know, the Bulls have one of the bigger ones in Coby White and Josh Giddey. I think that it would kind of go back and forth, and I think that there's a lot of interesting looks both teams could send at each other. Vucevic, having to pull Allen outside of the paint, I think would be an interesting angle, in the Bulls' favor here. I 100% agree. Four teams that are in there. I probably rather see the Magic than the Hawks if I had to pick one of the two. But again, the Hawks are probably actually the more exciting team to watch. I just think the Magic are the better team. Like it's kind of like, do you want boring basketball with better skill, or do you want like at least just fun basketball? They suck. I definitely don't want to see the Heat, though. I mean, my boy Wiggins would just trounce everybody in the playoffs.
It's not fair.
I don't want to hear everybody crying. I agree. Bulls Cavs would be interesting. And again, you don't really, especially this year, have a lot of 1-8 matchups that are that intriguing. In the West, there could be potentially some big ones. This is a good matchup to call out. I like it. But you've got a Western Conference one you want to give a shout out to as well right now?
Well, I mean, God, there's so many. I mean, you're looking at what it is right now. And these are kind of hard to predict because of how much things can change. I mean, another what's the game tonight? Even last night it was Memphis Timberwolves, which is a big one. Wolves got a big win on the road. And then the Grizzlies play the Nuggets tonight, which, two teams with a lot to play for there. Difference of one game there in the win column as of right now.
Nuggets got a win over the Kings on Thursday night as well.
Yeah, and the Clippers play the Kings. I don't know if the Kings really have that much to play for at this point because they've clinched. I guess they want to stay above the Mavericks and host them. So, they play the Clippers, and the Clippers need to see. I mean, the Clippers could end up moving ahead of the Nuggets here potentially and actually hosting a first round series, which would be crazy. So there's still a lot to go on, but like, I guess I'll look at it through the lens of who would be the most fun to play the Thunder. Like who would be the craziest one of these teams to land in the eight seed. And I'm looking at what it is right now. Like if the Timberwolves stay in eight and they play the Thunder, I think that's going to be a really good series. Cause watching them last night against the Grizzlies, and I know the Grizzlies, are kind of on a bit of a backslide here. Their coach firing doesn't seem to have inspired that much of sort of better brand of basketball. But we'll see. But they're not a bad team though, even with all that context there. And it was at home, and Jaw was having a good game. But the Wolves came in like. Anthony Edwards had 44 through three quarters. He was just pulling up from three, all over the place. DiVincenzo looked like way more like Knicks DiVincenzo than I've seen him most of this year. Super confident, pulling from deep, playing like gritty defense. And then Julius Randle looks like he's playing the most inspired basketball I've seen since like early Knicks. Like he's really, really come on recently, taking tough mid-range shots that he's making. He's getting to the rim. He looks really agile. So you watch the Timberwolves for a while and you look what Rudy Gobert does and how much space he gobbles up inside when people are trying to drive in on him. And it's like, yes, he's French. He's annoying. Everyone hates him. Mm-hmm. It's still insane that this guy is so tall and has such long arms and is so good instinctively, sort of defensively at covering up things. That is such a nightmare for the Thunder to have to go up against. Like I still give the Thunder a I would say at least 70-30 chance of beating the Timberwolves. But
yeah,
I don't know, though, because, you could go in, Timberwolves could win one of those first two games if Anthony Edwards goes off, and then it's like that whole theory kind of blows up. So yeah, if we get the 1-8 that currently right now, Thunder Timberwolves, that's going to be just incredible. Cause like if it's someone else, if it's like, God forbid, one of the Kings of the Mat or the Mavericks that make it into the 8th seed, that's just boring. I need it for $50 So like all that aside, I need the Kings to make it into that 8th seed somehow. I don't know how they're going to do it. Probably like a Zach LaVine nuclear game. But like if it's one of them or the Grizzlies, I just don't think the Thunder will have any problem with that. But if it's the Timberwolves or like if somehow the Warriors get down there, that'll be interesting too. But I actually think I like the Timberwolves matchup against the Thunder more than I do the Warriors, weirdly. Yeah. If we're looking at a potential upset. So that's one I'm really looking at. Like the Thunder might be quaking a little bit.
Well, I think if you're going to beat the Thunder, you kind of have to be able to match up defensively since you know, they're the number one defensive team in the league. The Timberwolves, I believe, are still in the top five. They would be six right now. But I think that they could actually go, you know, they it would be a low scoring series, which wouldn't be a bad thing. Because then you get Anthony Edwards and Shea just going back and forth trying to exchange tough buckets. Like that's the kind of basketball that you know we haven't seen since you know the 2010 finals, Lakers and Celtics. You know, Game 7 was like 75 to 80 or whatever the hell the final score was. So I do love that one. I believe that was actually my conference finals prediction for the West this year.
There we go.
So I mean, I potentially, I'd be able to at least predict a matchup, right? So that's good.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that would be an awesome one. I totally agree that the Timberwolves are coming on at the right time. You know, we talked about that in the last show. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe they can, you know, make things interesting. But again, them versus the Grizzlies, I think, you know, I would probably play that into the favor of the T-Wolves. But again, that would also be an awesome play-in game. You know, a lot on the line there. Again, a lot of people want to play the Rockets. But before, you know, I go away from the Timberwolves, I guess, you know, a matchup that I think would be really interesting to see, you know, if the Timberwolves are able to win out, you know, the Clippers and the Warriors, you know, maybe they drop a couple here down the stretch of the season. Mostly the Clippers is who we really need to drop here. And I believe that, it could still all work out this way. But a potential 4-5 matchup, Nuggets versus Timberwolves, rematch.
From
last year's second round series, Gobert versus the Joker, you know, Edwards going out there and, you know, just trying to pick on, you know, Jamal Murray and all those inexperienced guards. I think that would be, you know, an awesome one. Get a little bit more of a rivalry going between these two teams. I think it would be interesting to watch. Randall versus Gordon, that would be two thick, meaty men just slapping around, each slapping beef. It would be awesome to see. And yeah, it was an all-timer series last year, probably, again, one of the most exciting series of the postseason last year. Obviously, you know, the Timberwolves are differently constructed this year. They don't have the Joker stopper in
Bodega Man.
But I would love to see Timberwolves versus Nuggets too in the postseason this year.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, there's I don't know how big of a chance that is, but there's still a chance they could meet in the second round. But that's much less likely this year.
Timberwolves upset the Thunder as the 8 seed, and they would play the Nuggets if they can win as the 4 seed.
Yeah, 100%. That would just be fun if those two teams met again, because also the Timberwolves have owned the Nuggets this year. I can't remember a time when they've lost, because they've played a number of times, and especially that last one when Russ fucked it all up for him. I don't think Russ would.
But again, great game.
Incredible game. I mean, 60-point triple double for Jokic. You know, that was a double overtime one. Like, I think that's more games like that would be happening if those two teams meet again. I'm trying to like find who the best team is for the Clippers to play. Clippers Warriors, if somehow that happened in the first round, again, the Nuggets would have to lose and drop a little bit here, but that would be like a throwback to like the old Chris Paul Warriors matchups of 2014. That one would be a lot of fun. And Ty Lue versus Steve Kerr.
Who was it that bumped Blake Griffin in the post game interview that year that started the rivalry? David Lee, maybe? Seems like something.
Yeah. That whole era with the Rockets thrown in there, the James Harden Rockets as well, the beef they had with the Clippers, that was so fun. Yeah. Between like 2013, 2016, that was incredible. So yeah, we get a little re-spark of that. But like also if the Warriors end up in the 7th seed and they play the Rockets, that's also two teams with a lot of history and very, very different styles, you know, of team as well that would be really fun. So yeah, you've got like matchups galore. Even the Nuggets Grizzlies 4-5, the we don't have a coach anymore bowl, that would be fun.
That would be hilarious. Someone's going to get their stock as an assistant coach really bumped up here.
Yeah, and one's going to be blackballed from the league. It's like you couldn't even win a first round series. Any of these combinations honestly will be fun. Again, looking like another bloodbath, like truly from 1 to 8. If you're that jumbled up, like you might as well throw away the 1, the 8, like the seeding. It's like, this is just the Western Conference first round. These are all really good teams. I know the Thunder have kind of stuck their head out above the pack, but again, as much as I probably, if I had to put money on it, think the Thunder will come out of the West. Like it's not as guaranteed as other teams. They still haven't proven it. I think they're closer to the rest of this pack of teams than their record would suggest. And so now you've got this, for the first time I can remember, legitimately, like I could see any of these series going either way, depending on what happens. I know the Grizzlies and the Rockets are a bit shaky, but hey, anything can happen when, the Rockets, you've got fucking this incredible home crowd, and you've got these young athletes that with that home court advantage can really sneak up on anyone. And the Grizzlies, they still have Jaw, as much as they've looked not great. They still have Triple J and a really deep team. So everybody's good. This is going to be crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, you just kind of brought those two teams up. That's another series that I have circled, the Dylan Brooks Bowl revenge series, Rockets versus Grizzlies.
And that'll both get teams, ugly.
And that's the thing. Both those teams are they're yappers. They play hard. They're defensively founded. So I think that the Rockets versus Grizzlies series would be awesome to watch. Very super intense basketball. Get down to the fourth quarter, and they've got different bucket getters at all levels.
It's like, who's gonna get a bucket? It's like Jaws trying to go against the trees, and Fred VanVleet's hoisting up from 40 feet. It's just
He'll have like a 4-for-20 shooting night at some point in the playoffs. It's bound to happen. We love you, Fred, but we know it's gonna happen. Maybe if he has another kid quickly, like every
get on it now.
Yes. Yeah. What would the month have to be there? October. He'd have to impregnate his lady by October to have a safe 9-month birth.
Yep.
Is that correct?
That would only be 7 months. Okay, so.
So would it be put in August?
Or no, August. Sorry, you're right. August baby during the off season.
Well, that's a conception. That's April baby.
What?
Well, you want the baby to be born now?
No. I know. But we're saying 9 months ago that was August. I can't do the math, Matt. You're gonna have to help.
I think that it is. I think it's August. Let's say August.
But August makes sense. It's the off season. It's when they would be getting busy. So it's possible. Is Fred VanVleet's
July? July is 9 months.
Okay, still July is. Fred VanVleet's partner showing. I need someone to go and look at that. Alex, look it up for us, please.
Amateur gynecologist Alex Iskoskis, please dig into this. the last one I want to shout out before we move on here, just because, I think I mentioned it last week at some point, because it would be just an awesome matchup. The history between, two of the best players to ever step foot in the NBA court. Lakers versus Warriors, I think would be an awesome first round series. That's what's slated right now. If nothing changes, Lakers versus Warriors.
But I want a second round with those guys. First round, if nothing else, but second round would be fun too.
But yeah, LeBron versus Steph for the billionth time. Draymond would be out there, in full force. Jimmy Butler added to that equation. It was really interesting. Him and Luka going at it. I think that would be a gangbuster series. It's like, who's going to stop Austin Reeves on the Warriors? I mean, they've got some susceptible guard depth there. I don't know. That would be a must-see series.
Stopping Quinton
Two
Post,
Pacific
though.
Teams. Yes. it's a good point.
Yeah, that one will be so fun. I mean, like, again, whether it's in the first round, the second round, as long as it happens, that'll be fun. But also, though, like, it was kind of somewhat underwhelming. I remember it being back when it happened when the Lakers got to the conference finals. I think it was a 6-game series. I don't remember it being that fun. Like, the hype really outshined it. At least that's how I remember it. But like you said, this feels like a very new thing. Now that you've got Jimmy and you've got Luka sort of in the mix, it's almost like things can be happening. Exciting storylines can be happening within this series. And LeBron and Steph might not even necessarily be like a part of it. Like, you could have Luka going off, or like, you could have the Austin Reeves game. You could have Jimmy going crazy, or someone else, Pajemski or something from the Warriors. Yeah. And so these teams have really, these teams have really like re-upped to the point where they feel very different. So a matchup will be very fresh, new, but still with those two guys anchoring them. It'll be much must-watch TV. We know that.
Well, to finish up the podcast here, because again, not too much as we are in the final stretch of the basketball season. It's crazy to think, Jordan. Again, we're approaching 300 episodes of Big Dog Ball Talk. We'll probably get 300 once the playoffs start.
Let's have a party.
That's a lot of hours sitting here talking hoops. And you know, a guy who we've talked about both in his playing time on the podcast as well as post. It's Dwight Howard. We forgot to mention him last podcast because it was, you know, we talked about Carmelo Anthony and you know, his Hall of Fame induction announcement. But Dwight Howard also now being announced as a, 2025 Basketball Hall of Famer, 8-time All-Star, 5-time rebound champ, 2-time block champ, 8-time All-NBA, 5-time All-Defensive Player, and a 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. And of course, he won the 2020 NBA championship in the bubble with the Lakers, as part of his little comeback run there. And also was okay on Dancing with the Stars. I know you've got mixed feelings about Dwight here, Jordan. And I think that, you know, if anybody, and it's funny because nobody, I didn't hear anybody say boo about Dwight Howard making the Basketball Hall of Fame compared to Carmelo.
I think Dwight Howard makes sense. Gets a lot of respect, like more than I thought he would.
I agree. Especially like when he was snubbed off the NBA 75, like a lot of people came to his defense saying, you know, he should have been on there. And, you know, I think we talked about it on the podcast. You know, I think that he probably did deserve a spot on there. But I know that you have, some strong opinions on Dwight and kind of his career, the era that he played in. But all in all, I do think whether it's first ballot or not, I do think Dwight Howard still does belong in the Hall of Fame. He had, an amazing peak, before Jokic was probably the last big man to ever carry his team to the finals. Something that's almost 20 years later, 15, if we're really going to split hairs. It was all founded on, just being a defensive monster. Obviously the free throw shooting was always such a problem. Like he really was kind of like our era's Shaq for a little bit there. Orlando Dwight was one of the like most exciting and like scary basketball players to watch. And then obviously, he goes to the Lakers and he has his fray with Kobe, and then he goes to the Rockets and he's good, but he's never as good as he was because of the back surgery. And then he bounces around. He goes to Atlanta. He goes to Charlotte. He goes to Philly. Like he bounces around pretty much the entire league in the end there. But all in all, he finally got the ring that I don't think any of us thought he was ever going to get. And he still has a lot of individual accomplishments to have to his credit. And again, one of those last of the dinosaurs that were able to be drafted out of high school to boot was a first overall pick. So I think that there's a lot of history in Dwight Howard's career that not a lot of guys can claim to have accomplished. So I'm more than happy as him as a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I'll let you talk about your opinions on him. But one of the best defensive players the league's ever seen. And again, if you want to watch an awesome highlight career mixtape, go watch Dwight Howard's. He fucking baptized a lot of guys back in the day.
Yes, and Chris Paul baptized him. I can never,
which is insane.
Remind people of that enough.
Kobe got him good as Kobe, well as rookie year.
Yes, he did. But no,
I believe all that's the where that came from. Kobe said he baptized him.
Yeah. Called him soft. That's so funny that pairing just didn't work. But that should have told you everything you need to know about Dwight. Not that Kobe was like the nicest guy, but like Kobe worked well with Pau, and all these different, Derek Fisher, all these even made it work with Meta World Peace, but not with Dwight. And I think that sort of as soon as that happened, the rest of Dwight's career kind of makes more sense the way he kind of bounced around. I don't know how it seemed like someone got more immature as they aged, but that seemingly was what happened to Dwight. True. Like, I don't remember any weird things coming out when he was like first in Orlando. He just seemed kind of like a fun loving guy. Like he was trying to be Shaq a little bit too much. That was fine.
Love the double arm sleeves.
Yes. But then just, it was just weird shit started coming out. I mean, I think it, kicked off with the whole saga of like when, you know, Stan Van Gundy was like, oh, are we going to trade him out of Orlando? And it was that whole thing of what was going to happen. There was some weird stuff that went down there. But like all my issues with Dwight are basically off the court. Obviously, I would have liked him to play better as a Laker, because as a Kobe fan, that would have been fun to have a you know, this all-star center, because he got traded for Andrew Bynum, and Andrew Bynum was at least for the back-to-back years that the Lakers won in 9 and 10, won over mm-hmm. Dwight and the Magic, by the way. Like Andrew Bynum was on this kind of upward trajectory as this great center, and that swap kind of Dwight really didn't live up to his end of the bargain there. So there's some like on the court stuff maybe where I'm like, okay, you could have been a little bit better, but it's mostly just I don't feel like I like Dwight very much just based on what I've seen. But like you said, his Orlando career, that's kind of unimpeachable. Like that was amazing. I do believe he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I have no issue with him getting in. The fact mm-hmm. that like he was without question, when he won those Defensive Player of the Years, he was there was no controversy there. He deserved those. Again, as a rebounder, as just a physical force, we had never seen someone jump, a center jump like that. So maybe since Daryl Dawkins or something. But like Shaq didn't have the athletic ability that that Dwight had, even early Shaq when he was skinnier. Like Dwight would literally soar through the air, like even in that dunk contest when he threw the ball through the basket on the Superman dunk, like the physical gifts he had were insane. Defensively, like the blocks, he would send shit into the third row. And then he did that whole thing, sort of midway through his Orlando career where he worked with Hakeem Olajuwon, got a bit better on the low post, added some footwork, a little sort of jump hooks, running hooks to his game. And he actually became like offensively a guy you could go and count on for like 20, 25 plus.
Second last year with the Magic, he was second in MVP voting, and he scored 22.9 points per game to go along with 14 rebounds.
Yeah, just insane. And like you said, he led his team to the finals in 2009. I know KG was hurt that year. I know there was kind of a down year for LeBron, at least in the playoffs. But still, he got there in the mm-hmm. end with a team. You look around, like there was no other superstars on that team, not even close. He does deserve that credit for getting them there, being a great two-way player. My issues with Dwight, personally, they don't play into how dominant he was for a stretch of about 5 years, like best center in the league. And like you said there, in that MVP conversation almost every year as well, like there's very few centers who you could say had that impact. I know we're kind of in the center golden age right now with number 21 on Philly and Jokic.
I don't want to include him.
He did.
I'll take Dwight over number 21 any day.
Honestly, yeah. It's kind of similar to Carmelo, is that like when you look at someone's career who is that good and it ended kind of so mediocrely or slash badly, where you're bouncing around on different teams, people don't really want you. And now Dwight is saying a bunch of shit on social media as well. That's kind of adding to his annoyingness. But also at this point, I just find it funny. But like mm-hmm. You do have to sort of look back to these guys' primes long before, a lot of these people fucking commenting on whether they should be in the Hall of Fame or even watching basketball realize how dominant they were. I think it's a similar kind of case for both these guys. So yeah, 100%. I have no issue with Dwight getting put in there. First ballot, I agree with it.
Yeah, well, shout out to D12. Superman is in the building. great player. Always fun to watch. Whether you loved him or hate him, you still watch. But let us know what you guys thought of Dwight Howard getting inducted to the Hall of Fame, as well as the first round playoff matchups you want to see the most at Big Dog Ball Talk, like I said before. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook for all you old heads out there. And of course, don't forget X. Get at us at Big Dog Ball Talk. Help us help you, bring you the takes that make you quake. Got it right that time, Jordan. but we'll be back on Monday. You do not want to miss it. We are going to be bringing the heat all next week. End of season awards. Yeah, huge playoff preview, as well as the play-in preview. Yep. Tons of basketball to cover here. We just cannot fucking wait. So get at us next week. The big dogs are back in full force. But until then, as my good friend Jordan always says,
Mr. Homeowner over there, Matt. Come on, don't be bashful. Yeah, yeah. Go crazy.
We're in this. We're in this shit, man.
We're fucking in this. When are you inviting every one of our listeners to a party at your house that you own?
Hey, man. Everybody, Canada Day weekend. If you're listening in the States, you know, things aren't, you know, that maybe by then the beef will be squashed. Probably not, but maybe it will be. But come on up, everybody. Yeah, if you're in the Michigan area, we'll get you in there. It's like a 1 hour drive, depending on where you are. Yeah, it's really easy to get up there. And you can party with the big dog. We are going to tear down this house.
Let's destroy it. I would love to destroy it. Because who cares? I mean, you own it.
Yeah, exactly. Rebuild it. Do whatever I want to. And Jurassic's for everybody. We'll be right back.